Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, salatu wassalamu ala sayyidil mursalin, amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program, Our Islamic Beliefs. Inshallah, again we'll be hearing about the importance of Aqeedah. And in fact, this episode, we will summarize some of the main Aqeed that we've heard in the previous episodes, stressing and emphasizing the importance of Aqeedah in the life of a Muslim. Aqeedah is not something that we can ever take lightly. In fact, this is your base. As a Muslim, if the base is corrupted, ma'azallah, if a person has adopted wrong aqeedah, then this can affect him in the dunya and most certainly in the akhirah as well. So it's very, very important to learn correct aqeedah, correct beliefs regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to attain salvation and success as well. And we've been mentioning this particular statement throughout our program that aqaid are of two types. You have Zururiyatul Deen and Zururiyatul Ahli Sunnah. The bab, the chapter of aqaid is very lengthy. If you begin to speak about the dhat of Allah, the sifat of Allah, this is something that a person has to learn. He has no option. Similarly, regarding the prophets and messengers alayhim salatu wasalam, he has to learn the correct aqeedah. We all read amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. We even memorize these statements when we're young, but what do they actually entail? What does it mean believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What kind of beliefs can you have regarding Allah? What beliefs are you not allowed to have regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Otherwise they will affect your iman. These are things that we must all learn. So just to recap, believing in Allah, tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is important for a Muslim. He has to believe that none is worthy of worship besides Allah. There is no one who resembles Allah in that, in sifat, in actions, in ahkam, nothing. If someone does believe that there is another who can be associated with Allah in his that, in his af'al, in his ahkam, in his sifat, he's a mushrik, he's a polytheist, a disbeliever. And shirk, in the Quran it states, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is a great zulm, great oppression. And Allah does not forgive shirk, but He forgives everything besides that. Now the true understanding of this verse is that on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala will forgive a person if He wills, out of His forgiveness, out of His karam, His generosity, for whatever he has done. But shirk on the Day of Judgment will not be forgiven, because a person has to repent. Ma'adhullah, if he has shirkiya beliefs, if he has polytheistic beliefs, he has to repent from those in the dunya before he dies. If he leaves this world still possessing those beliefs, polytheistic beliefs, associating partners to Allah, then he won't be forgiven. Anything besides that, anything other than that, meaning apart from kufr and shirk, Allah Ta'ala will forgive out of His mercy for whomsoever He wants. So tawheed is very, very important. Then we heard that Allah Ta'ala did not have a beginning. He's azali, he's pre-eternal. He has always existed, always will exist. He's abadi as well. We heard regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will not perish. Everything will perish. Kullu man alayha fan. Wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. Only Allah ta'ala will remain. In another verse it says, kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha. Everything will perish except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has always been present, mawjood. He does not have a beginning, He does not have an end. He is unlike His creation. Everything in creation is dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we heard. Allah Ta'ala is not dependent on anyone else. We heard regarding our Creator Jalla wa'ala that He is free from place, being restricted or confined to a place. He is not a physical body. He does not exist or dwell within a place. Allah Ta'ala again is not constrained by the limits of time. He created time. Azza wa Jal. He is not governed by time. Rest of creation, we follow time, meaning there's an Nizam, there's a system in place. 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, years, decades, centuries. But Allah Ta'ala is free from all of this. He is the creator of place, makan, and zaman, time as well. All of this creation, place, came afterwards. Allah existed before that as well. Allah Ta'ala is free from direction, up, down, left, right, forward, backwards. And the ulama say, to confine the dhat of Allah to a place, say that He is in a particular place, exists only there. This is kufr. To establish a body for Allah Ta'ala, a physical body, again, this is disbelief. Allah Ta'ala is basir, He sees everything. Allah Ta'ala is sami', He hears everything. But His hearing and seeing is unlike the hearing of creation. We need ears to hear, we need eyes to see. Allah Ta'ala is free from these parts. Allah Ta'ala hears even the most faintest of voices, and He does so without the need of ears. Allah Ta'ala does not have physical limbs. Allah Ta'ala does not grip things with hands like we do. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's many things related to these beliefs as well, mutalliqat. Allah Ta'ala is not the father of anyone. Allah Ta'ala has no offspring. Allah Ta'ala was not given birth to. In Al-Quran al-Kareem, Surah Ikhlas, Surah of Tawheed, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, He, Allah, is one. Allahu samad. Allah is independent. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He did not give birth and He was not given birth to. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And there's no one equal to Him. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُمْ وَاحِدٌ. Another verse of the Quran. And your Lord is one Lord, one deity, one God. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَحْمَنُ رَحِيمٌ. There's no one worthy of worship except Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. So ascribing divinity to creation is kufr. So ma'adhullah, going beyond the limits when praising the Nabi alayhi salam, saying He is God, or He's like God, or in any way, this is kufr. So Muslims have to be careful regarding this. In fact, when we describe the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, Mawlidun Nabi ﷺ, this is a great way of affirming that the Prophet ﷺ is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the greatest creation of Allah, but nevertheless a creation. I mean, He was born. One who is born cannot be like one who is not born. Meaning Allah Ta'ala was not born. Allah Ta'ala is the Lord, the Master. He is the creator of the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning the Anbiya ﷺ have their own blessed ranks. But at the end of the day, they are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are ibadullah. And they taught that throughout their lives. So angels, awliyaullah, salihin, all of these blessed creations are subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are not associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His af'al, in His asma, in His ahkam, in His zat, in His sifat. None of that. If Allah Ta'ala does not will for something to happen, it won't happen. However, the creation which has certain authority, and it's demonstrated as well, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. And this won't be classed as shirk, because Allah Ta'ala has Himself given certain powers and authority to His creation. Allah Ta'ala is independent. Everyone's reliant upon Allah Jalla wa'ala. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَىٰ. Allah is ghani, independent, and you are fuqara. You are needy of Allah Ta'ala. You are needy. And the Anbiya alayhi salam, this was their message when they came to the dunya. You have to study the Quran and you'll find that every Nabi invited their nation towards the Tawheed of Allah. Told them to stop worshipping idols. Stop attributing power to the heavens, to the skies, to clouds, to rain, other things in creation. And this was their message throughout their life. Even our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why did the Anbiya alayhi salam face such backlash? Why did people reject them? Because they wanted to continue in their evil ways, their misguided ways. And they would say, do you stop us from worshipping the way our elders did? So they couldn't leave the fact that their elders were wrong. They couldn't agree to this. They couldn't accept this. They couldn't leave what their elders were upon. And the Nabi alayhi salam said, look, I am a servant of Allah. I have come to you. I'm telling you the way to Jannah. Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not accepting it. And then punishment descended, as we know, if you read the various aqwam of the past, the various nations, punishment descended because they rejected the messengers, they rejected the prophets, alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah Ta'ala is hay and qayyum. We know Allah is ever living. He is qayyum. In the famous verse of the throne, Ayatul Kursi, it says, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Slumber does not overcome him. Allah Ta'ala is free from every aib, naqs, defect, flaw. Allah Ta'ala is pure from all of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all capable. To try and say that Allah Ta'ala is incapable, or He's not all powerful, or He's ma'adhala unaware of something, negating knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are all words of kufr, if a person was to say this. And unfortunately, with the widespread use of social media, people are falling into all sorts of evil traps. all sorts of kufr, all sorts of fitna, just to gain views. They'll make a joke about the thought of Allah, they'll make a joke about the anbiya, they'll make a joke about Jannah, Jahannam, angels, Akhirah, Qiyamah. Very, very dangerous. And the people listening to it, the people liking it, they fall under these ahkam as well. So it's very, very important to safeguard your iman. Safeguard what you listen to. Be careful in who you take your deen. So learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning the tenets of faith, learning about iman, learning about taqdeer, learning about the Anbiya alayhi salam, learning about the revealed books, this is all important. But where you take your knowledge from is equally as important. Because if you're taking knowledge of these things from the wrong sources, you can end up in misguidance and end up in wrongdoing as well. So that was regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just briefly what we've already covered. What about the Anbiya alayhi salam? So regarding the Anbiya alayhi salam, we know that they are all chosen servants of Allah. They have been granted prophethood, which is atai. It was not earned. Allah chose them from His creation. We don't believe that prophethood can be earned or acquired through worship or anything like that. Allah chooses whomsoever He wants. We also know about the Anbiya alayhi salam that there are approximately 124,000 prophets and messengers. And ulama say approximately because we don't know the exact figure. Some of the narrations, they vary in terms of the number. So if you say approximately, you're not limiting it to 124,000. You might end up missing out a few Anbiya alayhi salam. Or if there's less, then you're not adding to the Anbiya alayhi salam, the number of Anbiya. So saying 124,000, kamobesh, approximately, this is the safest way as taught to us by the ulama of Islam. Regarding prophethood, our belief is that this cannot be removed from a Nabi. Once he's been given to him, once he has nubuwa, it cannot be removed from him. This is our aqeedah as well. And this explains the arrival, the descent, the advent of Prophet Isa alayhi salam at the end of times. And so people try to confuse the ummah and say that the Prophet alayhi salam is Khatamun Nabiyyin, final prophet of Allah, the finality of prophethood. And then Isa alayhi salam will come, so he's the final prophet. And the answer to that is no. Isa alayhi salam already had prophethood. And he came before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he comes back, he will still have that same prophethood. He has not been granted a new nubuwa, new prophethood. In fact, the ulama have said that he will come back as an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was his desire. He will also offer prayer behind Imam Mahdi radiallahu anhu. He is an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin, is the last of the prophets. No new prophet is to come after him. When Prophet Isa alayhi salam arrives, it will be with the same prophethood that he possessed before. Now remember, our aqeedah regarding the Prophet alayhi salam is that they don't commit sins. They are immune from that. They are infallible. Allah Ta'ala has blessed them. But to attribute sins to the Anbiya alayhi salam, this is dangerous. This is impermissible. The Anbiya alayhi salam are ma'soom. They don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's na mumkin. It's impossible for them to commit sin. Whether it's beliefs regarding Allah Jalla wa Ala, whether it's beliefs regarding Anbiya alayhi salam, or the angels, or the revealed books of Allah, or taqdeer, or Jannah, or Jahannam, tenets of faith, we must ensure that we're taking this aqeedah from the right sources. We are on the aqeedah of the classical scholars of Islam, the likes of Imam Tahawi radiallahu ta'ala, the likes of Imam Ghazali, Imam Nawawi, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, rahimahullah ta'ala. These a'imma, right from the beginning, all the way till now, they have all taught the same aqeedah. And if we cling on to the way they have explained the aqeedah, we will gain salvation. But if we start wandering, if we start taking from everywhere and anywhere, then we can end up with corruption in our aqeedah. And as was mentioned before, if we go to the level of mocking the deen, ma'adallah, if you go to the level of making jokes about the deen, then iman will leave us. Iman will leave a person if they joke about the deen, if they insult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a joke, if they insult Anbiya alayhi salam, disrespect the malaika, or any important zururiyatul deen, aqeedah which are necessarily known in the religion. And if they were to mock them, and it's happening on social media, people are, just to gain views, they are making jokes about the deen. So it's a very, very serious matter. And it's important that we don't fall into this. And Qibla Amir Ahl Sunnah, Shaykh Tariqat, Mulana Ilyas Qadiri Dawud Barakat Mulaliyah, the founder of Dawud Salami, he stresses all the time to learn about Kufriya Kalimat. If you don't know what will render you out of the fold of Islam, how are you going to save yourself from it? If you don't know, for example, how to clean yourself, then you're going to remain impure. So everything needs to be learned. But aqeedah is the same. If you don't learn aqeedah, you don't know what you can say, what you can't say, what you must believe, what you mustn't believe, you might fall into error. There's a great chance. So learning about kufriya kalimat is necessary. Allama Shami rahimahullahu ta'ala in his Raddul Muhtar has said it's wajib, from the wajib ulum. You must learn, because over time the ulama have seen that more and more kufr is being committed by awam. The more they distance themselves from ulama and the teachings of Islam, they're falling into disbelief, falling into statements which lead one out of the fold of Islam. So they must learn those kalimat. And subhanAllah, the ulama are so merciful, meaning they're blessed by Allah. They want betterment for us. So they have written statements that cannot be said regarding Allah, statements that cannot be said regarding the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, statements that cannot be said regarding the books of Allah, the Malaika, Jannah, Jahannam, those dangerous statements. And they've said, avoid saying this, avoid saying this, avoid negating this from the dhat of Allah, avoid saying this regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we read, if we study, and Amir al-Sunan Dhamma Barakatul Aliyah has written a book as well, Kufriya Kalimat Ki Bare Mein Sawal Jawab. It's in Urdu right now, but inshallah one day it will be available in the English language as well. But you can sit with an alim and ask him to explain to you what is mentioned therein. If you truly care about your iman, the iman of your children, your loved ones, your friends, your relatives, then we must learn, we must teach. We must create this awareness amongst people that iman is something that you have today. And depending on how you speak about your religion, what you say, you can end up, ma'azallah, losing it as well. If you want to keep it intact, you want to preserve it, you want to safeguard it, then you must only say that regarding iman and Islam, which is permitted by Islam, which is permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as explained by the ulama of Islam. Allah Jalla wa'ala safeguard our imans, enable us to learn our aqeedah, to rectify our aqeedah, and to remain steadfast upon the aqeedah of Islam and the aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Our Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we kneel.